December 7th, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to all our channels, Periscope, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online radio 24/7. Visit us on thesportscast.net or also follow us on Twitter at thesportscast1. Check out our app, The Sportscast, for iOS. The 22 FIFA World Cup in Qatar quarterfinals begin this weekend on Friday and Saturday. And we're going to be preview every game in this tournament for the quarterfinal stage for this weekend. And of course, join us all the way from Hollywood, Florida, Jaime Fernandez. Welcome back to the World Cup coverage Sportscast.
Thank you, Santiago. Thank you for the invitation. And it's a pleasure to be here.
First of all, we're going to go into what happened yesterday, where Morocco beat Spain in penalties 3-0. The regulation match was 0-0. Morocco was playing defense throughout, trying to play counter. Spain couldn't find the goal. But we'd love to hear Jaime, who is from Spain, your reaction over yesterday's match.
Well, I got to say, first of all, Morocco deserve it because, I mean, football sometimes is all about strategy and all about, you know, tactic, right? And they knew they were a team that, you know, they were not as good as Spain with the quality, the players. But they know what they're good at. If they played all together, they knew they were going to make Spain a difficult game. I think they learned from the Japan game and they apply it. So well deserved it in that case. But of course, I was very pissed because from the beginning, you see that Spain should have played different and they didn't. They just possessed the ball, play with from the defenders all the way up. And yeah, we had a chance. We had chances, but at the same time, we were playing against a goalkeeper that knows very, very well every single Spanish player because he plays in La Liga for Sevilla. So,
yeah, the keeper of Morocco was Bounou. He had a 6.9 rating on FotMob. Spain had 1,000 passes to 300 passes to Morocco. What were your thoughts on that, Jaime?
Passes for nothing, because I would like to know how many of those passes were between defenders and the goalkeeper. It was ridiculous. Like I hate this progression of tiki taka. I hate where it's going. Guardiola did amazing job. Guardiola and passed it kind of to the Spanish team through Del Bosque and everybody loved the way that we used to play, but you need to improve and you need to know that people already know what you're going to do. So you need to come with a plan B, and that's what we lack of right now.
Let me quote you a quote from Rodri, who is a center back for Spain. He said, "Morocco offered absolutely nothing. Without disrespecting them in the game, they did nothing. They just waited for the counters. They stayed behind and tried to counter us." Your thoughts on his quote?
Well, he's true, but he also say that we should know that Morocco was going to do that and have a plan B, because you can have the possession and have the chances. And one thing is clear, when you, the basics of this, having all the possession, and if you hear Guardiola or Luis Enrique, the main goal of having a lot of possession with the ball is that the more you have the ball, the less chances you're going to let the other team have, right? And that's probably true. But in this case, I think Morocco even have more chances than Spain. So what are you going to say now? I mean, if you're the coach of Spain, and I come with what I just told you, what are you going to say? You don't have a way to say, oh, no, but the possession. No, no. Morocco had more chances with less possession than Spain. So what are you going to say? So that's what I would like to say to Rodrigo and to, you know, to also Luis Enrique, because at the end of the day, Spain is home. Morocco is in quarterfinals, and the possession shows that football is different, you know.
There has been
I'm
news.
I'm ready for a new coach, as you can see.
Yes, which this is segues to something that I've been hearing the past 30 minutes from Ed Laguero from Spain. He said Luis Enrique will leave his role as Spain's head coach in the next 24 to 48 hours. Luis de la Fuente, the U21 coach, is a favorite to succeed him. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, that shows like they believe in the players, right? It's true. They believe in what we've been doing, and especially they believe that the young players are the future, which, I mean, it's true. It's true. And I support that because, of course, I mean, what you cannot do right now is like, oh, you know what? It was wrong that we picked so many young players and now we're going to play with the old school. No, you cannot do that because, of course, the young players are the future of Spain. If you think about the next Euro Cup is in 2 years from now, and not even if you think about the World Cup is in 4 years from now. So, yeah, we need to start getting prepared for those years. So who knows better these kids than the under 21 coach? Nobody, because he's been coaching those kids since they were like 16 years old. So, yeah, I think it's a good idea. Now, what we're going to have with this new guy is something completely different. Why? Because nobody knows this guy. He's not famous in the world of football. I mean, he's probably famous in Spain. But that's something bad? No, not really. Maybe no. I mean, who knows? Like, the time is the only person is gonna, sorry, the time is gonna tell us the truth about this new coach. I feel he knows what he has, the potential of these kids, so I will give him a chance. Now, it could work or it could not work, but the good thing is we have a kind of like a new challenge every 2 years, so I feel, why not? I mean, giving an opportunity to Luis de la Fuente, because, I mean, Spain, we are lucky that we're going to play the Nations League playoff final. That's in June of next year. So based on that, if Spain wins there with a new coach, that's going to mean something, you know? And then the Euro Cup of Germany in 2024. So I will think it would be a good idea to put this guy. But if not, there is other good coaches, Rafa Benitez, Marcelino. I mean, I think we have good names in the table.
Guardiola, not yet.
I will. Nobody will like Guardiola. Trust me. Okay. No, trust me. Trust me. It's a little bit the same with Luis Enrique. I mean, Luis Enrique, we respect him more because the fact that for Spain, he used to be everything for Spain, you know, and he put Spain, you know, on front of any club or anything. But Guardiola, he started getting into politics and everything. So people in Spain, they don't respect Guardiola. Maybe the people from Catalonia, they respect him more. But I feel he would not be a coach for Spain. That's why you heard rumors about Guardiola coaching for Brazil. It's because he knows that he's not going to be able to coach Spain. But it's the same with Real Madrid. He will never coach Real Madrid. It's something that is already there.
Yeah, done deal. Luis Enrique, where do you think he should go next?
I heard rumors about Atletico, and I feel it's very good for him. I mean, he hates Real Madrid, so I think it's good to be a coach of Atletico when everybody hates Real Madrid and Atletico. So I feel they are made to be with each other, right?
So you're saying Diego Simeone might be on like he might be on his way out.
Yeah, there's been a lot of rumors already about this Luis and this Simeone, you know, been doing really bad, and people are getting a little bit tired. Think about this: Simeone is one of those coaches that I think is the one that makes more money in the world.
Yeah,
the coach, like the best pay.
Which is why João Félix has been rumored to leave, because he has not he's had bitter relationships with Diego Simeone.
Oh no, he's leaving for sure.
Yeah,
he's leaving in January.
Yeah, not sure where.
Yesterday I heard the vice president of Atletico, and he's talking so clear about that. It's because there is something already on the table. I heard today about Aston Villa.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think this guy at this point, he's ready to sign for any team. Because if you think about it, Aston Villa, they are not even in a good position in Premier League. They are probably not gonna be able to be in the next Champions League. But you know, money sometimes is enough for players. We saw it with Diego Carlos. I mean, I didn't understand. He moved from Sevilla to Aston Villa, and I'm like, how? Why? I didn't get it. But look, he was doing. He's where the money goes, you know. And maybe he believed in a project that in the next four or five years he might be playing Champions League with Aston Villa. You know, you never know. The thing is, these new teams of Premier League that they got new owners, like Newcastle, Aston Villa. They are the future Manchester City and Chelsea. So it has to be cool for a player to be like in that project. Like, oh, I'm going to be in that project that started, you know. But yeah, I heard rumors also about Man United. I don't know.
Yeah, which I'm pulling up here on the screen share, which I'm surprised Aston Villa. You don't think he belongs in a top club like Man City, Man United, or any of the top clubs in Europe?
Well, it's not that I don't believe. It's they don't. They definitely don't. Aston Villa is a top 10 in the Premier League, but no, it's not inside the big six.
Interesting enough.
The same as Newcastle. I mean, they're a classic Premier League team. But in order to get in the big six, it's not about money only. I mean, you need a little bit more. But look, Newcastle is doing great this year. So you never know. If Newcastle qualifies, little by little, the roles is gonna start changing. I mean, look at Manchester City. I remember in near Manchester, Mansfield, for a year when I was 15. And I remember people were laughing about Manchester City because they were going to go to the second division. And I think they ended up going or something like that. But it was terrible. Manchester City was one of the worst teams of the Premier League. And look, with the years, now they are the number one. No doubt.
And their first signing was Rubinho back in 08.
That's one of the very first signings, yeah. You're right.
I remember that. Anyways, we'll talk about Endrick to Real Madrid a little bit after the prediction. So we'll see what Jaime is hearing. Okay, first match on Friday, Croatia versus Brazil. Brazil had a fantastic game against South Korea, 4-1. Croatia, they tied against Japan in regulation, 1-1, went to penalties. Croatia had a better chance. Your thoughts over this match, Croatia versus Brazil, Jaime?
Well, I feel Brazil is the favorite at this point. After showing us what they can do, I think they are the favorites to win this World Cup. Now, this could be a very similar game to the Brazil against Serbia. I don't know if you watch it, but I think they only won 1-0, right?
No, 2-0. Brazil only won 1-0 against Switzerland.
Oh, so against Serbia was 2-0, right?
2-0. One goal by Rich. I think two goals by Richarlison. Richarlison?
Two goals by Richarlison, probably. But anyways, I mean, my point is like that was one of those games that everybody was like, you know, let's see how it goes. But I mean, it's going to be a difficult, tough game because also Croatia knows how these guys play. So they are going to be very on top. They are going to play very hard. They are going to commit a lot of fouls and probably a lot of fouls in a far area, because also you cannot be stupid and commit a foul close to the area, because you know Neymar or any other Brazilian knows how to score from a free kick. So I feel it's going to be a fun game, definitely a fun game. Croatia, they don't know how to play like Morocco, for example. Like they know how to attack, and they are going to attack to Brazil too. So I think of the quarterfinals, I think it's going to be one of the most fun games and with more goals. If you ask me, I would say it's going to be kind of like a 3-2 or 4-2 or something like that. Yeah.
Any hope for your player, Modric, the Madrista? You think he can pull some tricks, or he has not much hope there?
Well, more than tricks, I feel Luka Modric, he's a super leader, right, for that team. And he's an example. And I've been seeing pictures during this World Cup about Modric playing in 2006 when he started. And if you think about it, it's so many years playing, you know, for Croatia and leading Croatia, that he deserves something like this. I mean, he already had a final in 2018, but he deserves something like this, like winning Brazil. Oh my God, imagine how it will put Croatia in the map and in everything, you know, for new generations. You can, you know, play for Croatia in the next 10 years and say, oh my God, remember in 2022, we beat Brazil. It will be crazy to hear that. But yeah, if you think about it, the most common thing is that Brazil is going to beat Croatia. But yeah. It will not be a 3-0 or 4-1, something like that. I think it's going to be a very tight game.
2-0?
Nah. Croatia's going to score that game. Croatia's going to score.
2-1. Okay. Okay. The big one. This is a historic game. We've met before. Holland versus Argentina. The Netherlands versus Argentina. Obviously, these two have gone at it in the past. World Cup says 1978 in Argentina. Argentina beat them in 1998. Netherlands beat Argentina, and I think it was 2-1. And now they meet again. Netherlands had a very strategic match against the U.S. Louis van Gaal has a lot of experience in coaching World Cups, also in big clubs. Did the counterattack strategy. Argentina hasn't played pretty, and I believe Jaime would agree with me on that.
Yeah.
They've been like, they beat Australia 2-1. So what are your thoughts over this match, Jaime?
Again, this one, for example, I everything can happen. I expect very tight game. I expect, I would say, more like a, you know, 2-2 or 1-1, and then we go to extra time. Argentinians are going to suffer in this game. But I feel they're a little bit better than Holland. The problem about Holland right now is they have that experience with some players. Depay, De Jong, they've been playing for a little while, even that they are young. Well, not Depay, but De Jong, De Ligt, you know, all these guys, Dumfries. But at the same time, you know, like, I feel that Holland is a little bit faster than Argentina. So that's going to be one of the keys of the game. Like, the fact that Holland knows that if they move fast, they can have a lot of chances, while Argentina is going to be more about possession and about having their chance by Messi or one of Julian Alvarez, maybe Di Maria is back. I think it's going to be a very fun game, yeah.
You think Argentina, I mean, have you seen the best in Argentina within this World Cup, Jaime, or you haven't seen their best yet?
I think we haven't seen their best. I think Argentina is good team, and again, I mean, it all depends about Messi. If Messi has a couple of goals, man, they come up like crazy. But it's what Van Gaal says. Like, when Argentina doesn't have the possession and Messi doesn't have the ball, well, watch out. Watch out.
You could be planning on that.
That's why Holland, I think, is going to try to have the ball. If they have the ball, hold on. Hold on. Now, another thing, Holland, I think they are very strong in the defender and in the goalie. So it's not going to be easy for Argentinians to score. So I think it's going to be a fun game. I would say a 2-1 for Holland.
2-1 Netherlands. And I forgot to mention that Argentina beat them in the 2014 World Cup. Yeah, that was one thing. I think it was penalties, wasn't it?
It is. It was penalties, yeah.
Yeah. Gapko has been the star of the show, young player, and with Bellingham and everyone else. He's been rumored to go to big clubs as well. Do you picture him to go into Real Madrid? Do you think he'll be a good fit there?
No.
Fair enough.
I think it will be a good fit in the Premier League.
Okay.
He's faster. He's good.
We'll see what happens. Definitely one of him and several other young players in the World Cups. You know, Florentino has picked up players that spark in the World Cup. Jaime.
Since 2006.
Yep. Jaime Rodriguez, one of them.
Let me tell you, I read it today. So 2006, Cannavaro, 2010, Ozil, 2014, James, 2018, Courtois. Let's see who's going to be the 2022.
Who's your top pick right now?
As a Real Madrid fan, I'm excited because it's not a coincidence. I feel Florentino loves that. He's like, let me demonstrate my power. And, you know, whoever I like the most in this World Cup, I bring him. What I like it is that this World Cup is in January. Sorry, in almost when the window market is going to open in the winter.
Yeah,
so January. I love it because he's able. Real Madrid has a lot of money. So he's able to be like, oh, who's the best in the World Cup? Well, not Mbappé. Mbappé is not coming. But let's say, for example, I don't know, any Argentinians or any other player, he might be able to sign. Imagine he signed Musiala or Bellingham. That would be amazing.
But who do you think is the front runner?
Well, definitely he's gonna put his eyes on a scorer and a striker. Why? Because Benzema, I mean, we already see this season. He's been injured, he missed the World Cup. So we all know Mbappé will be ideal, but with everything that happened, I know Florentino is not going to bring Mbappé for now. But who knows? Maybe this new guy that scored a hat-trick yesterday, you know, he will be able to put 60 million for Gonzalo Ramos.
Gonçalo. Say it in Portuguese.
How do you say?
Gonçalo.
Gonçalo. Okay.
Everyone was talking about, anyways, which segues perfectly on Saturday, Morocco versus Portugal. Portugal had a fantastic round of 16, beating Switzerland 6-1. They beat Switzerland a year ago. No, in June, 4-1. So this is nothing new. Actually, March, 4-1. Morocco, of course, Jaime already suffered through them already. But your thoughts, obviously, Ronaldo sat out. He did not start with Portugal. And apparently there's a lot of momentum of him not starting again. And there was a Twitter poll in Portugal, not a Twitter poll, a huge poll in Portugal saying that Ronaldo shouldn't start. But anyways, what are your thoughts over this match?
Well, I mean, I think it's one of those games that I will put Ronaldo. Why? Because you want a lot of experience, guys. Ronaldo is one of those strikers that he plays so many games as a soccer player with so many teams, with so many type of defenders, that he knows what the Moroccan defenders are going to try with him. So Ronaldo is too smart, too clever to know how he can score. However, in the other hand, if you put this Gonzalo, this new guy, Gonzalo, okay. Ramos. Let's leave it as Ramos, his last name. I like it. I like the last name. So that's a new guy. He's 21 years old. and he can get frustrated, you know. He's a tough guy. He's a tough guy. I saw him. He's strong. He's like Ronaldo. If you think about his body and everything, he's a strong guy, tall. He's faster. Now, if you ask me, I think the big star of this game are other players. The biggest star are going to be the key of this game are going to be in Joao Felix, Bruno Fernandes, and Bernardo Silva. Why? Because those are the three players that are the key, you know, the key of this type of team. Why? Because if you think about how Morocco got to Spain, like they you know, tactic, they were like not leaving the spaces, and they let Spain play in the sides. Now, Portugal, with those three players, they have a chance, because those are, for example, what I feel the lacking of Spain. Like guys that have a good shooting, guys that have that magic that they can do that middle pass through. And also, of course, strikers like Ronaldo, that they are good in header, they are good shooting from nowhere. And at the end of the day, I feel Portugal is going to beat Morocco.
Yeah, and Portugal really, they have met, like, to be honest, Jaime, they've been having a great tournament. I mean, beating Uruguay, they won the group. I mean, usually yeah. Portugal has some bad showings, sometimes good showings, like you know, back in 06. Yes. But this could be the first time since 06 going to a semi-final match.
Yeah, you're right.
So we'll see what happens. They won a Euro back in 16, I believe. Yeah, 2016. So this is nothing new. This is a very talented, as Jaime says, the three, Silva, Felix, and Fernandez are key. And he says Ronaldo should start. Jaime said it. So we'll see what the coach says. Coach Santos, I believe is his name.
Yeah, Santos, Fernando Santos, yeah.
All right. So this might be the granddaddy of it all, according to the British press, England versus France. France, I think, has been the best team in the tournament, to be honest. And Mbappe had a fantastic game against Poland. And England yep. beats Senegal 3-0. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Mbappe did not practice yesterday. I haven't heard anything yet since. I think he'll play. But what's your thoughts over this match? It could be close, but it could be obviously France. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
It's a classic. It's a classic game. I mean, they haven't played that many times. I think during World Cups is the first time that they are going to play, at least in this type of rounds. But they played before in Euro Cups. I totally remember that game in 2000 when Zidane was playing against Beckham. I totally remember that. It was a good game. And that France was like this France. Like, it was all about quality players, all about magic happens. And you know, France is one of those teams that, man, I thought they were gonna feel, you know, having those players like Pogba, Kanté, and Benzema missing. But man, even Lucas Hernandez got injured in the first game, but they haven't noticed.
His brother's doing a fantastic job.
They have been doing better and better in each game. And I feel if there is a team, and I gotta be honest, if there is a team that they can stop this team, it will be England, because English guys are very fast. They are very tough. They are not going to play around. If they need to kick Mbappe's ankle, or they need to kick whoever, you know, they are going to do it. And they know Giroud. Giroud used to play in the Premier League too. So these guys, they know France, because the majority of those players, they play before in the Premier League. So I feel like it's going to be a very, very, very good game. Like, I will say, I don't want to say the final, but it could be easily like a final.
And who's going to win that one, you think?
I think France.
Me too.
But again, that's going to be one of those games that is 0-0 all the time. And maybe 1-0 in the minute, like 75.
I like the detail with the time.
I don't know. It's gonna be a fun game.
So has France broke the World Cup curse? Because like the World Cup curse is where you lose out.
Yep.
In the group, right?
No. They break it for sure. Okay.
Who would have thought this squad with Rabiot, Giroud? He's only 35 or 36. It doesn't seem like he's aged. Griezmann's doing a good job. Dembele, I like Dembele. So far, has been having a fantastic tournament. Varane came back from injury. I don't think he played for a Man United match before the World Cup break.
No, but what about Tchouaméni? He's one of those guys that nobody expected that he was going to play. Real Madrid signed him for 80 million, and now he's playing every single game with France. I mean, he's lucky that Kante and Pogba are out, but we never expected that he was going to be that good.
Which is why Casemiro left.
No, I don't think it was because Tchouaméni, but probably Real Madrid signed Tchouaméni knowing that Casemiro was going to leave. That could be.
Yeah.
And knowing that Casemiro was going to get old eventually.
And also Casemiro having a good paycheck for Man United.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Now, let me ask you. You always have questions for me. Now I have a question for you.
Ask away. I mean, I get some answers maybe.
Okay. Santiago, do you think that a new team will win this World Cup?
Like a Morocco or a Croatia?
Well, it could be Morocco, Croatia, Holland, or Portugal.
Portugal. I think of all the new teams, Portugal has a good chance.
Reason I'm asking you this is because right now we are in halfway. There is only 8 teams, and there are 4 that never won the World Cup, and there are 4 that won the World Cup.
Oh, you're right. Croatia, Morocco, Portugal, and Holland, which Holland's been to plenty of
final
matches. I would say Portugal, like what I saw yesterday, Jaime, with Portugal, I like it. Like, they might be my favorite of the teams that did not win it yet. Well, Gonçalo.
The good thing about Portugal is they have, I mean, I don't want to call it an easy game because they beat us, but they have an easier game than Argentina, Brazil, or France. Of course. They were supposed to win it the same way that Spain were supposed to win Morocco. But if you win Morocco, you are already in semifinals, which, let me tell you, for Portugal, that's a huge step because I don't remember being in semifinals for a long time.
Since 06.
Since 06? Oh, wow.
And they lost against France.
So that's what I say. Like, and they will play against France again. Oh, wow. What a coincidence.
And guess who and who scored against Portugal was by a penalty by Zinedine Zidane, former Ranger player.
I remember that penalty.
I remember that. And it hit the post, I think, like the top post, and went in.
Crazy. But but you think Portugal out of the four?
I think so, yeah. How about you?
Now, the other question. About the other 4 that already won the World Cup, who do you think have more chances?
France. I'm in France. Why? Mbappe looked too good, man. That team looked flowy. My choice number 2 would be Brazil, but I think France edges Brazil.
Okay.
You?
I don't know, man. I think it's sometimes all dependent about how the star have a day. Because if Messi has one of those days, man, Messi's, we already know, one of the best players in the world, or the best player in the world in the history of soccer. But the same with Ronaldo. If Ronaldo has one of those games that you are invincible, is what Mbappé has been having. one of those games that you are like, wow, everybody's like, Mbappé is the new Messi, Mbappé is going to be. But no, Mbappé doesn't have all the games like that. Let's be honest. A World Cup is very difficult. It's very difficult to be very good in all the games. I remember Spain, when they won in 2010, every single game, there was a new player that was better. So the mix of all the players and the luck that we have make us the winners. And I can say the same about Italy 2006, the same about Germany. If you think about it, they don't, in 2014, they didn't have a star. Müller scored a lot of goals. Kroos did good. But look, Götze, he made it in the last game, in the extra time.
You know that Germany was the only World Cup winner that did not have a golden boot winner. And it was Messi instead.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's quite interesting. But I think this year might be different. Before we go, Endrick to Real Madrid. Those rumors are spicing up. Looks like PSG will not do it. Do you think it would happen?
I believe so. I know a person inside Real Madrid. His name, he actually just won recently a glove award right before the World Cup. You want me to tell you the name?
Is it this guy, Casillas?
No, it's somebody that worked for the staff of Florentino.
Okay.
I will tell you more about it the next time.
Okay, good. Yeah, exactly. Stay in touch.
Let's put it there so people can research a little bit.
Exactly.
I'm going to give a tip. He's Brazilian.
Marcelo. No, the goalkeeper, right?
No. He won a golden globe award as his position. Do you remember what it was called? This Mendes, the guy that represents Cristiano?
Yeah. George Mendes, classic. Yeah.
He won that award like 3 or 4 years ago or more. So this year, Real Madrid won. He's a guy from Brazil, but I'm going to tell you. His name is Juni Calafat.
Oh, I never heard of that name.
You can do a research about him.
I will.
He brought to Madrid. Okay, take a pen and write this name because it's going to blow your mind. He brought to Madrid. Ronaldo. Kaká. Baptista, Robinho, Vinicius, all the Brazilians, Rodrigo. He brought it to Madrid.
He's a scout. He's the best scout there.
He's more than a scout. He used to be a scout, but at this very moment, he actually works for Real Madrid. Well, he's been working for the last 3 years or 4 years directly with Real Madrid. Like
he's on salary with them.
He's on salary with them. He's not scouting anymore. He does more than that. But one of the main things that he does for Real Madrid is convince the players how Madrid, not only as a team, as a city, as a lifestyle, is the best for you.
There you have it.
It's a good job. It's a fun job.
Very important job.
Yeah. That's why I'm going to bring this next story that I truly believe that when there is a Brazilian player in the world, we have more chances than any other team. Why? Because this guy, imagine, he opens the portfolio and he shows you, look, I brought this guy. Are you going to tell me no? What do you think? Brazilian soccer players of 18 years old with his dad next to him, they're going to be, oh my God, let's go with this guy.
There you have it. What are your thoughts over Marcelo's son, 13-year-old, his son Enzo, who signed with Real Madrid this past week?
I'm happy for him. It's always good to have legacy into a big club like Real Madrid. So I'm definitely happy for him. Now, I mean, at least by signing with Real Madrid with how old you say, 12 years old?
He's 13.
13? Oh, when you sign these type of contracts, like what do you secure for sure is that you're going to be a professional soccer player. Wow. Because signing with 13 years old, you have so much to improve, but you have so much to improve surrounded by the best kids. So you're going to learn so much that eventually maybe you are not going to be a Real Madrid player, but you can be in any Valencia, any team in Europe, any team in Brazil, whatever you want to go. Because, I mean, it's let's be honest, it's like studying a degree in Harvard. Like, you know that you're going to make a lot of money in the future because everybody's going to be, oh, this guy is studying Harvard.
You know they nickname Real Madrid as the New York Yankees of Europe.
I love it.
This is nothing new.
I love it.
Well, there you have it. The FIFA World Cup quarterfinals begins Friday with the first match of Croatia versus Brazil. And then, of course, Netherlands, Argentina, Morocco, Portugal, England, France. It is going to be a stacked quarterfinals. Looking forward to it. Jaime, what is the best way to reach you online to give you coaching suggestions for the Spain national team?
Through my podcast, Dame Bola Podcast, through Instagram, Dame Bola Podcast. So, yeah, I will be happy to answer all your questions.
Spain.
And to connect with new people. I love to connect with new people, and you know.
Yeah. Now, Gareth Southgate, before the World Cup, he said that Spain will have a problem scoring. I know they scored 7 goals against Costa Rica, but then after that, they kind of lacked it. What were your thoughts over his comments?
I totally feel that it's all about that first goal, you know? The other day, I'm telling you, yesterday, against Morocco, if Spain will have the chance to score, man, that would be a completely different game. Because what do you think Morocco were going to do? The strategy changed completely.
Yeah, and absolutely.
His coach also knew about this. Like, I bet you he was talking with his guys. It's like, okay, guys, let's make sure we play like this. And I bet you his way of coaching is not, oh, let's go to penalties. And then who knows? Maybe we win, maybe we don't. No, the way of coaching is let's play like this. And we all saw. And we saw that they were fast. So it's like as soon as we recover from Spain, we try to look for this guy running between the defenders and try to score a goal because they had the chances like that.
We'll see.
I feel like if Spain were scoring one, it could be easily another like 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, 5-0, 6-0. It all depends. Because I can guarantee you, once that Spain score fast and they get, you know, pumped, they can score as many as they want. They have the quality to do it. Now, the problem is that when you start getting frustrated and you start seeing that there's no space to do what is your football, you get frustrated. That's why the first thing I did is congratulate Morocco because they did amazing tactic of the game. Now, is that the style that I defend? No, I hate that style. But how many teams they play like that against Real Madrid, against other teams? Because that's the only way you can beat these type of teams.
Tiki-tack out of style. Anyways, you can reach us at thesportscast.net or thesportscast1 on Twitter and Instagram. This Friday, we'll have Francisco Flores coming back to recap the first 2 quarterfinal games and then look at the rest of the game, the rest of the schedule on Saturday. So looking forward to that. And, of course, we'll be pulling for the best team. So far, 2 South Americans and 2 Europeans and 3 Europeans and 1 African country. So we'll see how it goes. Jaime, always a pleasure, man. And we'll definitely talk next week when we'll know the finale.
For sure. For sure. Pleasure, Santiago, as always.
And this was your World Cup coverage update.